So once we started looking at adapting these dogs' environments, putting the rugs down, putting a baby gate up, you know, adapting the back steps, putting lights up so they could navigate in the dark, dramatic changes, like dramatic changes. Yeah. These were dogs you couldn't touch because they were so painful. 3 weeks later, totally massage them, totally, you know, pick up their feet. So the lifestyle is this missing link, and it's free of charge.
Yeah.
It's again the game changer.
Listen, guys, this probably isn't what you want to hear, but the chances are more likely than not that your dog or your cat are going to suffer from arthritis at some point in their life. And while we would like to think of this as only a disease affecting the really elderly dogs and cats out there, the fact is a lot of younger animals are also affected, but we're just not listening to the signs that they're telling us that they are painful. And then the other thing that we worry about is that if you recognise your pet does have arthritis, there's going to be a reliance on painkillers and there's nothing more that we can do. But you've just heard that that couldn't be further from the truth. And what about this for a treatment option?
If anybody could pot this up and sell it as a pill, right, so it's going to reduce mechanical forces, it's going to reduce the inflammatory nature, it's going to build strength in the surrounding tissues, it's going to make them happier, it's going to improve their cognition, it's going to have a range of other health benefits. Guess what? This pot of pills is free.
I've got an absolute treat for you today, and I really do believe that this episode has the potential to benefit more dogs and cats than any other episode in the past.
Welcome to the Call the Vet Show, the podcast that helps keep your furry family as healthy as possible so they can live the full and happy life they deserve. And here's your host, veterinarian Dr. Alex Avery.
Welcome along to episode number 95 of the Call the Vet Show. Can you believe we're creeping up ever so slowly on the big 100? I've got a real treat for you. I'm really pleased to be able to bring you the fantastic Dr. Hannah Campon, who has become a friend of mine through our online endeavours and is someone who I admire greatly. Her passion is unrivaled, and the impact that she's been able to have in a relatively short period of time is just incredible. And honestly, that's probably introduction enough. So without further ado, let's jump in to today's episode. So Hannah, welcome to the Call the Vet Show. Really excited for our conversation today.
Hey, it's really great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Not at all. This is long overdue, and I know we've been speaking about doing this for years, it seems. And there's so much that we could talk about. So I've actually really found it difficult to kind of come up with some really good questions and topics, because arthritis is clearly such a massive area, and there's so many different things, different approaches to it. But I thought we could start off with, you know, your kind of introduction to the world of arthritis, because obviously as vets, we see it every day, but that wasn't really what drove your passion. It was a very personal story you have.
Yeah, it was kind of a 3 or 4-prong attack, actually. So I'm a vet. I've been a vet now for 19 years, and I have been an owner of a very arthritic dog who everybody says that their dog is the love of their life. Mine was, okay? Mine really was. And it was very different to be on the other side of the table. And it was very different to have the decision paralysis, the anticipatory grief, the not knowing what was working, what wasn't working, not knowing who to turn to. You know, when was something hurdy-gurdy or when was something evidence-based? And suddenly I realized that there weren't the resources to support owners. And I was an owner, and I felt vulnerable and I felt useless. And that was my best mate that I wanted to support until the end. So that was a really big driver. But it actually started before that. And it was a defining afternoon in a practice in Brighton. And I was sat on the floor, and it was a blue kind of laminate-y kind of easy clean floor, you know, the ones with the little flecker etches in them. And I was sat next to a black Labrador who I was just about to euthanize. And I just had that epiphany of everything else is working in this dog. Its heart, you know, its chest, its abdomen's fine. Its eyes are still fine. Its teeth are clean. Yeah, its coat's okay, but it's got no ability to stand up. You know, its back legs are shot. There's no muscle mass there. And there's nowhere to now go with this. This is our only welfare option. how did this slip through the net? You know, how did we get here? And it was a double whammy because I had two appointments in a row like that, literally back.
Yeah. Back. Tough.
And both of them were just real defining moments for me, thinking every other disease we're really like vigilant about. And there just didn't seem to be any vigilant kind of approach to identifying it early, managing it effectively, and getting really good quality of life for the long term for these dogs. So that was a really big yike. And then I developed something called supraspinatus tendinopathy. And I don't know if anybody has had chronic pain themselves. And it comes all different forms. You can have musculoskeletal chronic pain. So you can have irritable bowel chronic pain. You can have irritable bladder, your migraines. They're all under the heading of chronic pain. And I suddenly realized what it's like to live with a disability, something that creeps up on you. It affects your mood. It affects your capability. It affects your willingness to go and do the sports that you love. It affects your ability to sleep. It wakes you up in the night. And I married that up with these dogs that had had months, if not years, of that uncontrolled pain destroying their life, getting to the point that they didn't want to stand. And that was like, yikes. And then the real corker for me was one of my very dear friends had chronic pain and committed suicide. So yeah, they kind of, those four things just came together and I thought, we can do better than this. And I think anybody that's listening to this that's a vet also knows that we get a bit of a vet bashing for all of our services having a price tag to them. They don't. Look harder. We do lots and lots of stuff for free. And I just, I felt that that was a bit of a driver for me, was to actually create a service that I felt the vet profession could be proud of. It could go out to the public as a free of charge service. There could be a little bit of blending of minds and approaching this together as a united front. So that was the idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And a result of that realization, I mean, that spawned Canine Arthritis Management, CAM, which is, you know, the group and the organization that you provide. And we'll talk more about that later, which is, yeah, fantastic. And you've certainly had the recognition, you know, because you've stepped forward when a lot of us have had those realizations. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I tend to say, you know, the mind is willing, but the body's given up. And we're at a stage where, yeah, I mean, the classic one is the Labrador, unfortunately, isn't it? That, you know, it's a bit overweight. And, you know, we thought it was getting, you know, getting old, slowing down, and wasn't really recognized and treated as aggressively as we can. And it's absolutely heartbreaking when you're in that situation. And two back to back is bad enough, but it's a weekly, if not daily, event for a lot of us, isn't it?
Yes.
That we're dealing with those cases. So with that in mind, you know, that's the end point. A lot of us aren't recognizing the early signs of arthritis. And when I say a lot of us, I mean, I include, you know, the veterinary profession as well in that we're not picking up as early as we should do, or we're just dismissing that as old age and, you know, normal slowing down. So just kind of how common is arthritis in our dogs?
Oh, you wouldn't know. It's well bad. So the figures that a lot of people refer to, let's just get them into context. They were researched in 1996 by a telephone poll in North America. And that's when we didn't know as much as we do now about chronic pain and how it is expressed. And at that point, 1996, 80% of dogs over the age of 8 and 20% of all dogs. Since then, people are talking about 35% of all dogs, going up to 40 to 50% of all dogs. Cats is absolutely terrible.
Yep.
90% of cats over the age of 12, and they think of 50% of all cats, 50 to 60% of all cats. Cats are a different kettle of fish. When I find my financial fairy godfather, I'm going to do cats.
and you get to clone yourself, so you've got the time to cover it as well. Yeah, I mean, cats are, yeah, they're another topic altogether. They are, yeah, they're just massively underappreciated, and cats just adapt amazingly their behavior.
Yeah.
so that they don't show us the signs of arthritis. But if we know what to look for, much like dogs, though, if we know what to look for, we can, you know, it can become glaringly obvious that this individual is suffering from pain.
Yeah.
So what kind of signs in the early stages are people just completely missing or dismissing?
Yeah, I think first of all, people have to realize the main kind of like etiologies, the main causes, because then they're going to start looking at earlier much earlier in the dog's life, instead of going, oh, well, he's now seven, I suppose I better put arthritis on my differential list. No, yeah. Let's bring it forward. 6 months onwards, it should be on our differential list, because the major cause of arthritis in dogs is developmental joint disease. So your hip dysplasias, elbow dysplasias, osteochondrosis, patella luxations, you know, angling limb deformities, which is really prevalent, really prevalent. And so that really kind of opens the mind that when you have a dog that's got a recurring lameness through the summer months and is two, that actually could be arthritic change because they've got an abnormally functioning joint. So the way to kind of divide into easy categories so that you can identify early, I'm going to do the CAM factor. Everybody's seen the X factor. Do you have ever
that? I think so. I don't really watch much TV, but I'm sure everyone knows what you're talking about.
We got the CAM factor. CAM factor. So on my cross at the top, there is behavioral change. And then there's postural change. And then there's physical changes and capability and gait changes. So divide it into four. And it's a really good way of training your brain. Partly because we have this inbuilt bias in our own heads of, did I really see that? Is that really something to be worried about? Oh, he's too young to have that. And also that terrible, I want to bury my head in the sand because I don't really want to admit that this is a problem. But when you divide it into four and you start ticking off each category going, yes, I have got behavioral change. He doesn't meet me at the door anymore. He doesn't want to play. He's become a little bit iffy around other dogs. He's become sensitive to noises that he never was before. Okay. Actually, he's got quite a roached back. You know, he's got quite an arch. His tail, he doesn't use his tail so much. He's quite dropped and he's very silted in his back legs. And he just doesn't look comfortable. It's like a bit like a wonky table. Right. Okay. That's that category taken off. Okay. His coat's looking different. You know, he's got whirls and patterns and strange, and he's got muscle mass real building up around his shoulders and he's kind of getting slim around his back end. Right. I've got quite a lot of physical changes. And yeah, he's walking with an abnormal gait. I don't know what it is. Is he lame? I don't know. I'm not a vet. But there's something not right. Oh my God, I've suddenly got all four categories filled in. This is all directing me to the core of my CAM factor, which is there a chronic pain component to this? Is there a musculoskeletal pain component to it? And then you can take that to the vet. It's a download on the CAM website. You can take it to the vet. It's called the Suspicion of Chronic Pain PDF. And you can offload what you're seeing with clarity. Whereas what happens in a consult room, which is 10 to 15 minutes, is I think there's something wrong, but I don't know really what it is. Ooh, tricky. Yeah. The clock ticking. How are we going to get to the bottom of this in 10 minutes on a slippery floor with a table in the middle of the room? My computer's facing the wrong way and we haven't even got a window for air. How are we going to get to the bottom of this in 10 to 15 minutes? Take your piece of paper with your thoughts clearly laid out and it'll be a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And take videos of your dog walking in its normal, you know, in its normal environment on its normal walk.
Exactly. Sort of,
yeah. The slippy floor is, you know, we obviously need it for cleaning and things like that, but it's, you know, it's a nightmare for dogs and they don't walk properly, especially if they're sore, are they?
Exactly.
So, and I'll put links to obviously all of the things that we're discussing in the show notes for people to go and check out. And there's a wealth of knowledge. And I direct my clients to the CAM website because it's the place to go for proper, you know, proper information and detailed information, because there's only so much that we can do in that 10-15 minutes. You know, even if we know that we need to do better and we're booking half an hour slots, which is probably about as long as most people are getting it, you know, that we can only scratch the surface of that. And there's a risk as well of bombarding people with all this information, and actually it goes over your heads because you're blindsided by the confirmation that your dog does have arthritis.
The owner's taking about 25% of what we say.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If you went to see a pain specialist or a chronic pain practitioner, you'd be with them for at least an hour. And when I used to do my home service, I'd be with the person for an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's a completely different kettle of fish to then being expected to impart that kind of knowledge in 10 to 15 minutes. Because you're not just giving a pill or a potion, you're coaching that person on identifying, understanding, lifestyle changes, exercise adaption, you know, dietary changes, how the pain meds work, what to use when to stop them, when to come back. Do we need to do x-rays? Oh my God, it's a lot to take in. So yes.
Just go back to how you felt when, you know, Ollie was diagnosed with arthritis and that you felt vulnerable and useless. that's how our clients feel, and the kind of the pet owners that are listening to this now when they get that diagnosis. And there's the potential for kind of analysis paralysis and decision paralysis, because there's so many, you know, so many things that they could be doing. And people are also vulnerable to being taken advantage of, aren't they? Because there's a whole load of amazing supplements out there that will cure your arthritis. Or is that just all marketing, Hannah?
I am really outspoken about this. Let me tell you a story. Okay, so this is true. One day I get this email from somebody saying, oh, I didn't know that you supported a supplement. And I was like, oh, we don't. So I went and had a look, and I was like, for sure. There was a picture of me that they'd taken off our website, and they put a banner underneath it saying vet approved. I was livid. Yeah. So you do. You can't get hold of them because the website's got no contact details whatsoever. All you can but do is buy the product, but you can't get in touch with the company. So we're like, right, where's this coming from? So we found them on social media and we started tracking them. And we found that the first person to like every single post was the same person.
There we go.
So then we were like, right, who are you? You seem to be here quite a lot. And considering that you're the UK's number one best-selling supplement, are you? You're vet approved? I don't think so. So we found that his Facebook page was open. And stupidity, we went and raised life to find out who he was. And it turns out that he used to own a bodybuilding kind of company and he sold supplements. So we then went to company's house to find out, having found what his previous company was, and it had been closed only about 8 months prior. Suddenly this dog supplement had been launched. So in 8 months, this supplement company that had not existed suddenly existed and was the UK's number one leading joint supplement and clinically proven? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So be careful, guys. There are some absolutely ruthless people out there, and independent laboratory studies on a lot of these unknown brands is terrifying, because a lot of them don't even have the content that they say that they've got on the packet in them. So I'm not saying that supplements don't work. I think they have their place, but I think sadly the majority is ruining it for the minority, if I'm honest. There is so much absolute crud out there and there's no regulation on this world. So they can really pull on your emotions, on your vulnerability. And you will, this is a classic, people will buy it Friday night on their iPad watching TV. So their eyes watching TV, they're on their iPad, they're worried about the dog. Oh, that sounds good. Look at the videos. Oh, that dog went from not being able to move to now it's jumping fences in 3 days. Oh, this is amazing. Buy it. Oh, I'm suddenly in a subscription scheme. Okay, well, I'll just go with it because I love my dog. I'll do this. And you will see improvement in some cases, because this is a disease that has, and you know it so well because you've done amazing videos, regression to the mean. You know, they get worse and then they start getting better. And that supplement that you bought because you've seen your dog worse ties in just in time that they were actually coming back.
Yeah, well, they wax and wane, and you normally take action when things are at their worst, don't you? So they were going to get better anyway. Absolutely. And yeah, I don't want to turn this into a supplement rant, because it could so easily do that. But yeah, those people are taking advantage of our owners who recognize that there's a problem and just want to do the best for their dog. And their marketers are very good at their job. I mean, they'll bombard you with Facebook ads if they know that you've looked at, if they've been on the CAM page. I'm sure they'll twig that and then they'll bombard you with ads. And you've got to be so careful, don't you?
Oh, yeah. The algorithms. We found that a lot of our followers were suddenly in this kind of bombardment of supplements. You know, how do you manage this? But, you know, marketing's marketing, you know. I can remember you type something or you say something to a friend and suddenly you start getting ads. And you're like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
So just be really careful, guys. And I think a rule of thumb is speak to your vet about it, because we know what is got some evidence of effect. Some is possible. Some is no. So have a chat with them. Be honest with them and say, you know, I'd actually like to source it myself. Don't take offense. What would you advise? Or look at what they're supplying, because they are regulated. They are going to be selling stuff that's got evidence of benefit from reputable companies. Whereas when you go alone and you go into one of these pet pharmacy online suppliers, they're just selling whatever the public wants.
Yeah. Flower pills that are masquerading as the latest greatest.
Yeah,
it's so difficult with that in mind, or with the mind that supplements, you know, can absolutely play a role. They're not the be all and end all that unfortunately sometimes they end up being thought of as. The other thing that as vets we get accused of, and unfortunately there are vets out there that are like this, is just throwing painkillers at our pets, and that's the only thing that we can do. But we like to think of something called a multimodal approach to taking, kind of making changes in a lot of different aspects of a pet's life, including painkillers. But, you know, why is that important, and what kind of areas can people look at?
Okay, this is where I get really excited. Okay, so there is so much you can do. It's crazy. Yeah. And when I started CAM, I was really at the start of my learning journey. I was working on my university education and some experience and just being fishing around. Now I just feel so much better equipped. There are so many options out there. And what's really interesting is the free of charge ones are the biggest impact. So weight control.
I joke every time I speak to someone, and we always end up coming back to weight, like with everything, with... Yeah, everything I've spoken about is so, it's just so important. But yeah, sorry,
it's
carry on.
It's so important. No, but it's so true. And 9 out of 10ers of overweight dogs can't actually see it now. So it's not your fault. Please don't go and berate yourselves. We don't want anybody sitting on the sofa crying, going, oh, I've let them down. It's not your fault. Take this message now. And I say when I'm lecturing, take your eyeballs out, put them back in, look at your dog, fresh eyes. Now critique, where are you at and what can you do about it? Because body condition scoring is a free of charge tool that you can do now at home. Look at your dog. Are they carrying extra pounds? Because it has such a massive impact on arthritis pain. So not only is the mechanical weight carriage for those joints, so it's increased forces on really compromised joints. You've also got the inflammatory nature of that fat. So that's like petrol on those arthritic joints. But we also know that the lipid droplets, the fat droplets, also infiltrates the soft tissues surrounding the joints, weakens them. It's also got a massive impact on other forms of health, so diabetes, heart disease, respiratory disease. But we also know in humans, carrying excess adipose tissue has effect on your cognitive and emotional state. So you've got a dog that's painful, and you're also going to add a really big dose of depression. Yeah. Pain and a little bit of depression in there. And you're sedentary because you can't move so much. This is a recipe for disaster. So if anybody could pot this up and sell it as a pill, right, so it's going to reduce mechanical forces, it's going to reduce the inflammatory nature, it's going to build strength in the surrounding tissues, it's going to make them happier, it's going to improve their cognition, it's going to have a range of other health benefits. Guess what? This pot of pills is free. You would subscribe 100%. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a massive one.
Yeah, it's simple. As an idea, it's that, which doesn't make it easy, because weight loss is a whole journey in itself. And I'd certainly encourage, you know, talk to the veterinary team. Certainly here, I find my nurses do a fantastic job with their weight clinics, which we run free of charge because we think it's so important when the impact is, you know, is huge. And yeah, like you say, I like to say to my clients that have recognized that their dog's overweight, or they're asking that question, is that because obesity is so prevalent in dogs, you know, depending on where you are, somewhere 60%, I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if it's higher than that.
It's about 69% it's 69% according to Banfield.
Yeah.
So that's surveillance.
And certainly my experience in the UK is that it's much the same. And in New Zealand, it's much the same. So wherever you are, it's probably much the same. But that how common that is just skews our perception of what a normal dog should look like. And so actually, like the one of the biggest weight concerns that I have my clients is, oh, I'm worried that they're a little bit underweight. Oh, no, they look fantastic. This is how a dog should look. And really, you know, so weight's one thing, and absolutely we could bang that drum for a long time, but yeah, any overweight dog, lose weight. And it doesn't take much, does it, to improve those comfort levels?
No. So you only, they've done studies, and 6-8% weight loss will dramatically improve the signs of lameness. So one of the clinical signs of arthritic pain is lameness, so altered gait. And they've seen with that small amount of weight loss, significant change. So yeah, just grab it, guys. I could talk forever about weight control because I think it has so many benefits, but we've got a course coming out soon. And we've also got an automated email series that if you want to have weight loss tips come into your inbox, and I think it's 6 days in a row, you know, there's loads of resources out there.
Yeah.
But my my love and my stumbling across this appropriate description, lifestyle change. So let me just explain how this came about. I was a vet. I suddenly got really fascinated in chronic pain. I set up a little mobile service just trying to work out what was going on. So I was working as a vet during the day, and then the evenings, the weekend, I'd go to people's homes. So they were owners that I could spend quality time with them. And I started bringing the pieces to what I believe the OA puzzle is. So you've got your pain relief, you've got your nutraceuticals, supplements, you've got your weight control, you've got your exercise management, diagnosis, clinical objective monitoring, lifestyle. So these dogs that I was visiting, they were trying to get across the slippery floor. They were still doing the stairs, but stumbling and jolting everything because they weren't quite able to judge the last step. They were trying to do the patio steps. They were trying to go across the decking. They were still trying to climb in and out of the car. And the owner really saw them as, I need to let them still have their, you know, mobile independence. They're 4x4, they've got four legs. They don't need my assistance. And a dog is a dog. I shouldn't start mollycoddling them. He can do this. And if you don't use it, you lose it. So I, even though he's struggling and I can see he's struggling, he has to keep doing it. Otherwise, he's going to lose it and get worse. And all of these myths rolled up into that non-action. And I only took for me to start stepping in and say, right, let's talk about the tissue changes that are happening alongside OA. Let's talk about the weakness that comes with it. Let's talk about the deficits in balance that they get. Let's talk about the fact that quite often their placement is poor. So they're so likely to trip, stumble, and fall. We have to make allowances for them. And we do it in humans. You know, we have Zimmer frames, hold onto the wall bars, halfway steps, chairs that help people to get into a standing position because it's too hard to pull yourself up. All of this thing. I lived in a place called Eastbourne for a while, and it's also known as the place that people go to die, really older person population. And there were so many of these mobility support shops because it's logical, you know, it makes sense. So once we started looking at adapting these dogs' environments, putting the rugs down, putting a baby gate up, you know, adapting the back steps, putting lights up so they could navigate in the dark. Dramatic changes, like dramatic changes. Yeah. These were dogs you couldn't touch because they were so painful. 3 weeks later, totally massage them, totally, you know, pick up their feet. So the lifestyle is this missing link, and it's free of charge.
Yeah.
It's again the game changer. And the final game changer, well, there's more actually, but I've only got time. Exercise. Yeah. It's everybody does it, you know, but look at what you're doing. Is it too much? And I probably 80% of my owners, I'm saying you're doing too much for your dog's capability because the tissues are not at their peak fitness now. They're going to fatigue quicker. When they fatigue, they become dysfunctional and painful. So then they're going to shift their weight to their compensating joints. That's going to make them work harder. They're going to get painful there. Then they're going to throw their weight back. Negative cycle. Yeah. So cut your walks down so that you don't get to that point and then build them back up again. Look at where you're walking. Look at what you're doing on the walk. Get rid of the ball chuckers, guys. I can't stand them. I'm really sorry. But if you've got weak, painful joints, they do not want to be going.
No. And we kind of think with, from that in mind, I mean, yeah, the ball throwing is a big no-no, but people will think, well, if they were sore, they wouldn't do it. But their drive to, and it's the whole thing, the dog's drive to kind of please the owner, to please us and to just get on with things, is huge. And if there's that stimulation of that interaction with the owner and chasing the ball and it's great fun, they'll just do it till they drop.
Yeah. And I think people forget, like, neurochemicals are powerful substances. Why do people go and take recreation drugs every single weekend? Why do people shed loads of money on coke hits? You know, because that rush is incredible. What that does to the way that you feel. And that ball comes out and they just go, "Woo! I feel amazing. Because I see that this is going to be good." And suddenly pain's gone and they just go and go and go and go. And then people go, "Oh, he normally plays ball until he's tired." I'm like, "Ah, yeah. What are you doing?" So let them carry the ball, roll the ball, hide the ball. You know, you don't have to be the ball police, but you've got to really think about how to preserve that tissue. So the three things that I've talked to you about, and I could talk forever about it, are free. They're free.
Yeah, and make so much difference. They don't seem, well, yeah, if on the face of things, they don't seem that big, but they are the cornerstones of how we can kind of get on top of this condition. And then we've got a whole load of other things. We've got And yeah, we don't have time to go into every single treatment modality. We've got our physical therapies. We've got, there's the pain killing question that people are often very scared of. Well, maybe we should touch on that a little bit, not for as long as we could, but, you know, are painkillers going to knock out a dog's kidneys? Are they going to, destroy their liver?
Put it like this, guys, if you've got to this point and you're thinking, oh, okay, she's all right. She's a bit weird, but she's all right. If you know how much I loved my dog, seriously, I've got tattoos on my wrists. I loved her so much. Would I give her something that was going to bring her to a premature end? No way. And she was on anti-inflammatories for 2.5 years of her life because she needed them for it to have a quality of life. I think something that needs to be really addressed is this fear that once you start on them, you're on them for life. No, not necessarily, because if you get the weight off, adapt the lifestyle, change your exercise plan, get a good diet in the background, maybe a nutraceutical, you've got some hydrotherapy, some physiotherapy going on, you're probably going to come off of them, But what we have to do is educate people that it's use it to get somewhere. It's the window of opportunity. Take away that discomfort so they're willing to use their body and start building strength, stamina, and ability. So that's one myth. The next myth is that it's the cause of all evils. Well, actually, the literature and the studies show that many of these dogs that do have adverse events, which, don't get me wrong, it can happen, quite often it's a comorbidity. It's been lurking under the surface anyway. And unfortunately, the anti-inflammatory is just the final straw. So that's why you need to have really good health checks and you need to do regular blood and urine samples. And the next thing that people say is, oh, but once they start taking them, they'll get used to them and they won't last as long. What do I do after they've got used to it? No, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You need to get in before the pain is wound up. You want to get in there when the pain is controllable and use them, do your lifestyle changes, because you can hopefully come off of them. If you wait till your dog is painful and you think they really need it, you're going to be on 2 or 3 medications, because that's when it's going to be impossible to control.
Yeah. Or you're not. The other thing that we get is that, well, I'm aware that the side effects, but I recognize that my dog's pretty painful now. So we'll give it for a week and then we'll stop it. And then we'll just give the odd tablet as needed. But we're not really tackling that chronic pain. We're not tackling the wind up, the changes in the nerves and how that pain's.
Do you want to hear my analogy to this? It's great. Okay? Absolutely. Because a lockdown. So we've got all these people in the UK that have been doing up their houses for ages. So there's going to be this electrician and he's in his house and he's been rewiring his house now for about 10 months. Because he's got nothing else to do. And he's rewired and rewired and rewired. That is the brain. That is the pain brain. You know, it's taken a long time to get to where it's got. You're not going to be able to just switch that off. You've got to unwind it. Your nervous system is quite plastic. As much as we can build muscle and lose muscle, and we can gain fat and lose fat, your nervous system is also changing much faster. It's adapting all the time. So if your dog has actually been carrying pain for 3, 4, 5 years, that's a hell of a lot of wiring that man's been doing in that dog's brain. And these drugs have got to be there to help the brain start unwiring all of this. So if you're going to use that drug for 3, 4 days or a week and go, oh, it didn't work. Well, it's just because it's been wired for so long. It's going to take a long time to unwire it. Don't be scared of doing long courses.
No, absolutely. And you might see some benefit, you know, in a few weeks, but actually you're not going to see the full benefit for months, potentially. Yeah,
they say that if you've got a dog that's centrally wound up, so they've had pain for a good period of time, that their nervous system has now adapted and has got better at processing it more efficiently to the brain, it's going to take at least 3 months.
Yeah.
So you do kind of bear that in mind.
Yeah. And that's where giving them intermittent treatment doesn't tackle that in any way, shape or form. Even with this short discussion we've had, it's easy. I can imagine people going, oh my God, there's so much that I need to think about and I don't know where to start. The CAM website, we've already discussed that, but you've got some fantastic resources there. So you've spoken about the CAM factor. You've got like a home safe leaflet.
You've got a load of
different things. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a download and resources section. So you can go and just print this stuff off. There's what has changed my dog. So it's a questionnaire that you can fill in. You can take to your vet of all of the things that are happening. So they can look at your lifestyle, what food you're on, what supplements you're on, all the things that you've done. There's a suspicion of chronic pain document. Add that. There's the chronic pain indicator chart. Add that. All the instructions to use. The It's My Home 2 is a way to check whether your house is safe. So there's loads in there. Even how to video your dog so you can take good video clips to your vet. our YouTube is huge of interviews. They're not as beautiful as yours, I must admit, Alex. Videos are very beautiful. But these are interviews with lots of key opinion leaders, academics, specialists, experts, who, like me, feel passionately about sharing their knowledge, and they come to CAM and they give up their time for free. And we do interviews that last generally about an hour, and you can tap into all these different topic areas. There is so much content in there now. So that's that. You can follow the CAM Facebook page and you can watch these events live. We do 1 to 2 a week. So do head over to there. And just if you're thinking, I need this broken down and I need to be able to do this in mini morsels, we've got some owner courses coming out. So we've got a course out called CAM Advocate Level 1, CAM Advocate. We're advocating for the dogs. That's for dog trainers, behaviorists, dog walkers, groomers, anybody that's a canine professional, you know, pet shop owner, kennel assistant. And that's available now. And it's very cool. Very cool. You get a certificate of everything. And it's got CPD credits. So if you want race accredited or any of the dog organizations, we're just about to release an owner course as well. And as you can see, I'm quite enthusiastic about it. When I first recorded it, I went on for quite a while. So that's called comprehensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't delete it. I was like, this is too good, but I know there's too much here. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to have comprehensive. And then I got a stop clock and I made myself only do 15 to 20 minutes per module, and you've got CAM Essentials. So those are both coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Fantastic. And there'll be links to all of those resources. So if you think your dog's got arthritis, go there. If you don't think your dog's got arthritis, go there, because the chances are that they may not have it now, but they, you know, there's a good chance they're going to get it later on. And if we can, you know, tackle that, I mean, I guess we've kind of thrown a few statistics out there, but arthritis and chronic pain is one of the three big causes of a reduction in quality of life in our dogs. And it's really that important and that common.
Yeah, just so people know, our hashtag is Your Dog More Years. And seriously, identifying it early, putting these changes in place, you will get more years. And I know it. You know, I've been doing this for 4 years now. And a lot of people do start trying to bury their head in the sand because they think the only option is going to be pain relief, and they don't want to introduce that too early in their dog's life. Don't have that attitude. Get the signs. If you see them, get them sorted, get a diagnosis, and start adapting your lifestyle. Because we've got loads of people that follow us whose dogs are 5, 6, 7 years old. They identified it when they were 1, 2 years old, and they've managed it successfully. And the dog is a lean fighting machine, still having a great quality of life.
Yeah, Hannah, I think we're going to need to do another one of these to talk about everything in arthritis 201. But thank you so much for spending the time to come to talk to us. It's a hugely important message that you've done an amazing job in getting out there. So yeah, thank you from all the dogs that you've helped, and I hope you'll come back.
Yeah, of course. Love to.
Perfect. Cheers, Hannah.
See you later.
So guys, I hope you found that super valuable. And honestly, if you didn't take anything away from that, then you really owe it to your pet to go back and listen again, seriously, because there's so much value there. There's so many top practical tips. And unfortunately, like I mentioned, arthritis is one of the big three impactors of quality of life, the other two being obesity and dental disease. So it really is that important. It really needs to get more of a recognition. We need to be aware of everything that we can do. And honestly, if we do all this, as Hannah said, it makes such a difference to the lives of our pets. So I'll leave all of the links that we discussed in the show notes, so make sure you check them out. And I'd really love to hear your thoughts. You can catch me over on Instagram, where you'll find me at Our Pets Health. That's probably the best place. And I love hearing all of your feedback, either as a comment on one of the posts or as a DM in a private message. And if I could ask one more favor, it would be to share this with your pet owning friends and family so that we can really spread this fantastic message that Hannah has to share with us all. And if you really do enjoy the show, I'd appreciate it so much if you could make sure that you subscribe so that you don't miss out on any future episodes, and also leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. It means more to me than you can imagine, and it really helps spread the message and helps me reach more people and help more pets. But that's it from me. This has been episode 95. 100 is coming up, of the Call the Vet show. And until next time, take great care.
Thanks for listening to Call the Vet. For full show notes and any links mentioned in today's show, head over to callthevet.org. We'll see you next time.